With WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting. The Oneida County Board of Adjustment unanimously approved the Great Lakes Intertribal Council's permit for a youth recovery and wellness center. That approval came with conditions. That's after Oneida County's Planning and Development Committee had rejected their permit application for a youth recovery and wellness center back in April. WXPR's Hannah Davis-Reed attended the meeting.
Today's a good day.
That was the CEO of the Great Lakes Intertribal Council, Brian Bainbridge's, reaction to the Oneida County Board of Adjustment's decision. The board overturned the Planning and Zoning Committee's rejection of the nonprofit's conditional use permit for a 36-bed adolescent recovery and wellness center in the town of Cashin. In September, Cashin passed a resolution against the construction of the center, and they've been firmly opposed throughout the process. The Planning and Zoning Committee rejected the permit, saying it did not meet their standards, and that GLTSI failed to prove the center wouldn't negatively impact Cashin residents. They heard arguments that property values would drop, as well as concerns that GLTSI would put the property into a sovereign trust, and that residents of the center would pose a risk to neighboring properties. Board of Adjustment Chairman Harlan Lee disagreed with prior characterizations of the center, saying that appropriate safety measures were in place, and reminding the board that admission to the center is voluntary.
There's no credible evidence to indicate the property values would be substantially impaired or diminished by the establishment of the conditional use.
Lee told the committee, quote, "One needs to understand and respect that there is no tribe or tribal organization that would ever totally give up their sovereignty," end quote, and instead proposed a partial waiver of sovereignty, as suggested by GLTSI's council. Patty Francoeur, chair of the town board of Cashin, said she was extremely disappointed and planned to have a town meeting to go over the decision.
I still state that I felt we weren't getting the full truth. I still believe that there were, lies.
Bainbridge said he was surprised by the approval and that he'll meet with his board of directors to talk about next steps. For WXPR News, I'm Hannah Davis-Reed in Rhinelander.
Millions of dollars in road funding are coming to Northwoods counties with a specific focus on roads that support the agriculture and timber industries. It's part of the first round of funding in the new Agricultural Roads Improvement Program. WXPR's Katie Thorson reports.
County Highway YY is about a 7-mile stretch of road between U.S. Highway 8 and State Highway 86. It's the dividing line between Price and Lincoln counties. Jim Hoppe is the manager of timber and forestry for the Packaging Corporation of America Tomahawk Mill. He says Highway YY is the main route loggers will take to bring pulpwood to the mill from forest to the west. But it's not available year-round because of seasonal weight restrictions, which Hoppe says is both an inconvenience and a potential safety hazard.
Be the most efficient way for them to get from the west of our mill to our mill, and it avoids that interface with small communities like Ogama and Tomahawk, where they have to go through business districts and school zones, and it make everything more efficient with that transportation of those forest products.
YY will be getting an overhaul, so it won't need seasonal restrictions. It will be made wider to accommodate the logging trucks and tractors. The old pavement will be removed and replaced, and there will be better drainage and some guardrail improvements. Roger Petrick is the Price County Highway Commissioner.
After this project's complete, then it'll be open year-round, so it'll help relieve some of the traffic that comes into Tomahawk, so you won't have the heavy trucks running through Tomahawk. They can come around the back way into PCA.
The state of Wisconsin awarded more than $3.5 million to cover about 90% of the cost of the project. It's funded through the new Agricultural Roads Improvement Program, which Governor Tony Evers said had bipartisan support.
One of the reasons they came up here is to hear about, you know, what they're doing here. But most importantly, we're going to have to look going forward, too. We're not going to fix all these small parts of roads that are carrying a heavy load, whether it's for timber or agricultural products. And so I'm anticipating that we'll have similar need next time around.
There is no timeline yet for the YY project. For WXPR News, I'm Kitty Thorson in Lincoln County.
A recent report finds only a fraction of plastics are recycled, and plastics labeled as biodegradable in reality can take years to degrade. Natalie Romlagon reports.
One study has found that biodegradable plastic bags were still fully intact after 3 years of being buried in the soil. There are currently no federal standards regulating bioplastics or products claiming to be biodegradable or compostable, says Judith Inc., president of the advocacy group Beyond Plastics. Plastic production is forecasted to increase by 70% over the next 20 years, with roughly half designed for single-use products, according to the report. Inc. says without significant reduction in plastic packaging, consumers will continue to ingest chemicals like PFAS, lead, mercury, vinyl chloride, and other chemicals found in food and beverage packaging.
We're particularly concerned by a chemical called polylactic acid, PLA, and that is typically made from corn or sugar crops, and they also contain toxic chemicals.
Microplastics and nanoplastics are produced when plastic products break down into tiny fragments that end up in soil and waterways. Nadia Ramlagan reporting.
The Biden administration is proposing a new rule to protect workers from extreme heat. As Harvest Public Media's Anna Pope reports, it's expected to reach 36 million employees across the U.S., including agricultural workers.
Heat is the leading cause of weather-related deaths in the U.S., and the proposed rule is meant to reduce heat injuries, illnesses, and deaths in the workplace. Antonio De La Vera of the United Farm Workers said the rule is overdue.
It's a bittersweet moment because we know that this probably would not have happened had workers not died, right?
The rule would have employers make a heat illness and injury prevention plan, including requirements for drinking water, rest breaks, and control of indoor heat. Federal officials are encouraging the public to submit comments on the proposal. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Anna Pope.
For WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting.